Can't believe this conference is already almost over. Crazy. Open, if you could, in the book of Luke, chapter 16.
Luke chapter 16. This will be my final message for this conference, and I just want to take the opportunity to say thank you all for the food, the hospitality, the blessings. Everything has been absolutely amazing, as always, every year. We look forward to this. It's one of my favorite times. Not only the physical food, but more especially the spiritual food has been incredible. I have been uplifted, I have been blessed, and I thank God for what has been doing and what God is doing and working in all of y'all and hearing the ministries that are going on and people you're witnessing to. I just praise the Lord that, you know, that things are still going on and God is still saving souls. Amen. Even here. And that's just something that is just magnificent. So I want to thank you personally, and thank you in the name of my wife and Caleb and Nathan, who stayed back, who wish they would be here, but pray that we will be here next year. I know I will not do that again to my wife. She's amazing. She's done an amazing job, but yes. All right. Luke 16. I promise I wouldn't say much more than that. So I'm going to shut my mouth before I get in trouble. All right. 16, verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, betwixt us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Very powerful story. One of my favorite stories that shows the reality of what happens after death. And it is a reality. It is not a story. It is not just something that Lord Jesus is going to use as an example, as a parable. He uses the name Lazarus. We know that that is the reason why it is not a parable. It's not just some random story. And if it was a parable, what would it be teaching, really? That there is no hell? This is a story about hell truly existing. It is a true existence, and it is a true danger and a true problem. And people don't realize how long eternity really is. They think they can play around and mess around with their lives and think that they got all their lives to fix it or whatever. And they make light of hell. They said, I'll just go to hell where it's nice and warm. And they think they have time to get right with God. But after death, there is no do-overs. There is no restart button like on computer games and consoles that kids have today. Life is not a computer game. You don't have a second chance to do good on your mistakes. You have one life and one life only. Amen. So today I'm going to present to the and do what I love to do the best. I'm going to preach the gospel. Amen. Which I think is the best news and the best thing. And at the end, I would like to give also a challenge to all of us. And I would like to for you to consider what this message can do to your heart and what God is telling you through it. In this passage, we have an insight into what happens after death. So I want to be looking at three things. I want to look at two failures. I want to look at two funerals. And I want to look at two futures. When you look at the two failures, you look at Lazarus, who's experienced failure in the sight of men. Right? He does not look very successful. And anybody looking at him would say, what a waste of life. What is that waste of life still doing here at my gate eating my crumbs? How dare he take my oxygen? He is a waste. Men would say that. He was a failure, according to men's standards. Dirty, full of boils, a man homeless, useless, friendless. And there were a lot of obstacles in his life, I can assume. Yeah. A lot of problems, a lot of heartache. Even this conversation that we have, we see that Abraham says, he says about him that he received evil in his life. He had a lot of problems. His failures was evident in his clothing, his lifestyle. He accomplished, according to man, nothing in his life. According to man. Yet there was something deeper down inside that man could not see. The heart that was going on, that the God could only see, that only God can see, something was happening inside that man. And Lazarus knew something that the rich man did not. If you could, real quick, Matthew 6, leave your place here, we'll be right back. Matthew 6, 19. Says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I wonder where his treasure really was. Can you think about it, where his treasure was? I don't think it was on treasures on this earth. I think his heart was on treasures that are in heaven. He was thinking of something else. His mind was on something else. And he wanted what was eternally and not was just at this moment. What's the word? Temporal. Thank you. I knew there was a word. My only Polish word was coming out. I knew it wasn't tymczasowe. That does not sound English at all. Lazarus had a treasure that the rich man could never have seen. And if he had seen it, he would have been jealous of what he truly would have, what he is missing out on what's in heaven. He would have traded all of his treasures just for to see one day be in the house of God. Yet he did not. The rich man he was a failure, not in man's sight. He was a success for man. He was successful. Where did he fail? We know where he ended. He failed in the sight of God. We see his failure. He was richly dressed. You see his clothing, amazing. Parties galore. He had everything a man could ever dream of. Man, he had the life. He was successful. I don't know if he was a businessman, a politician, an entrepreneur. I don't know what he was, but whatever it was, he was successful at it. And he had everything he could imagine. Everything you could imagine, he had it. He's done it. He's been there. He bought the t-shirt. Oh, he had friends. But what does the Bible say in Proverbs 19:4? You don't have to turn there. It says, wealth maketh many friends, but the poor is separated from his neighbor. We know how quickly wealth can disperse, come and go very, very quickly. That's not where you should put your hope in at all. Wealth can be, we see I can't think of the words right now. My brain right now is thinking in Polish too much. Giełda, the stock market crashes, and what happens? People commit suicide the next day. Why? They lost billions just because of one thing happening. You might say, if wealth maketh many friends, that's a good thing. what's wrong with that? Well, what does Deuteronomy say? Deuteronomy 8:18 says, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant with he, which he sware unto thy fathers as it is this day. God is the one who gives you strength to do what you need to do. And that rich man has forgotten from whence his strength comes from.
Yeah. Amen.
Not from himself. Not from his wisdom. Not from his education. But from God.
Amen.
And that's what we, his failure was. He was successful until death. And death showed truly what that success was, that he could not take it with him to heaven. So seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Oh, there's a lot of people who are seeking the Lord after death. But it's too late. So seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. After death, there is a gulf. There is something betwixt us and thee. No one can go to them, and no one from them cannot come over to us. What a shame. So we have the two failures, but then we have two funerals. Two vastly different funerals. Now, funerals are not a nice thing to go to, are they? But they're a necessity. Puts life into perspective, doesn't it? It puts life into perspective. And Brother Joel, I know that you just came back from one, and it's a hard thing to do, but praise the Lord, your father was a believer. Yes? That changes everything, doesn't it? Oh man, when you know that the person you're going to is not there, but in heaven, it's no longer something that is sad. It's a privilege to say, I know where he is.
Amen.
What, man? And but yet still there's so many people dying who don't know where they're going.
Right.
Funerals are not a nice thing, but they sure are necessary to put life into perspective. Yeah. Death is our enemy. Oh, but thank God Christ overcomes our enemy. He is our overcomer. Yeah. And we know that through him we have the confidence to go through this life and say, oh, death, where is thy sting?
Amen.
That does not bother me. Everyone dies. You can't avoid that fact. Rich and poor, healthy and sick, young and old.
Right.
Death is not a respecter of persons. Does not look at you and say, oh, you know what? I will wait a little bit more longer for you to have a little bit more fun. Death does not care. When God said, today, thou fool, to that rich man, that was it.
Right.
God makes the decisions. He said, today. Man, can you imagine the funeral that Lazarus had in verse 22? Let's look back at our text. Luke 16:22, it says, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Not much there, is it? Not much there to really go on, but we can kind of visualize when we see a death and we see a man who is homeless, who nobody cares about, friendless. We can kind of imagine it wasn't very elaborate funeral.
Yeah. Right.
We can maybe, I don't think that he had more than just a little pine box, if that at all. I don't know even if he was buried or they just threw his body into a hole and just put some dirt over it. Said, all right, go on to the next one.
Right.
Nobody cared about this man during his life. But something was different.
Amen.
On the other side. Something happened, and thank God that God sees what man doesn't see.
Amen.
Thank God God looks on the heart. You know, like, oh, Samuel looking for a king. Oh, these are kings. Oh, yes, that's a king. And then here comes David. No, no, that's not a king. God looks on the heart.
Amen.
God knows. He sees what you and I do not see. I bet that there weren't hundreds of people lining up to pay their respects for this man. Maybe even one day, maybe one of them said, realize, huh, where is that man? He's gone. Finally, he's gone. Finally, somebody took care of that mess. His life might have been, to men, pure failure. But his death was magnificent. We don't know if he was buried or not. We don't know anything of that. All we know is, what do we have here? We have, and it came to pass that the beggar died. And the next thing we hear, he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom.
Praise.
Man, carried into Abraham. I don't care what kind of funeral I have. Just carry me with angels' arms into the Father's arms. I want to go there.
Yeah.
Just carry me. Oh man, that's amazing.
Amen.
Man, I don't need to be successful on this earth. I just want to spend eternity with my Lord and Savior.
Amen.
Wealth, what is that? Cars, things, entertainment, all these things are nothing compared to eternity.
Amen.
And this man knew that, and he realized that, and he suffered through and did what he had to do. All his sorrows and all his pains were suddenly gone.
Amen.
No more tears, no more pain, no more fear, no more trying to beg for food, no more people torturing him and dogs licking his sores. All that was suddenly gone.
Amen.
And he's there.
Praise the Lord.
In Abraham's bosom. Isn't that magnificent?
Yeah.
Oh, the rich man died too, didn't he? Same verse. The rich man also died and was buried. Oh, now we get he was buried. Lazarus wasn't buried, but now we see he was buried. Oh, I bet you he made plans to have his body. It was gonna be the biggest and most elaborate funeral this city has ever seen. He wanted it to be big. He wanted people to remember him. Didn't do him a whole lot of good, did it? Nothing. Rich man died too. He had friends. He had people were going, they were flocking to his funerals to see a great man that he really was. Look at what really happened further on, verse 23. And in hell. Can you imagine? Can you just ponder just for a second, this man who thought he had everything going for him, probably thought he was a pretty good guy, probably thought, man, I give to charities, I do good works, I help the poor, I do these things, and God, yeah, I know I've done some bad things, but I'm not as bad as that other guy. You've heard that before?
Yeah.
I'm not as bad as Hitler or Stalin. Those guys are real bad guys, you know. I just steal a little bit. Not a whole lot. I want you to think about it for a second. What happened when he woke up in hell? I don't think he planned on being there. I don't think he even pondered the fact that it could even be a possibility that he could wind up in hell. Yet he did. And in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool in my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. What torment must have been? What pain? And later on we see that he has. And I want you to think about a few things. Notice a few important facts about this rich man. He has a memory.
Amen.
He remembers. He remembers. He remembers. Look in verse 25. Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted and thou art tormented. Remember. Man. It's one thing to die and not have a memory of what you actually done or the stupid things that you and the people you rejected, but to have a memory and to remember those things, man, why didn't I believe? Man, why didn't I take that track? Man, why didn't I go to that church? Man, why didn't I listen to that preacher?
Right.
Amen. Amen. There are people who are going to be full of regrets. Full of regrets. Not only that is he a memory, he feels pain. He's tormented. You're not just there and just gonna walk around as if, no, you're tormented. It is gnashing of teeth, as the Bible says. He's thirsty and cannot quench that thirst. Have you ever had that? Where you just, Oh, man, I'm so thirsty. Man, I need something, and you just go for, I don't know, 4 hours or something, and there's nothing around, and you just finally get there. I did that the other, during our family reunion. Me and my cousin and Jasmine, we decided to walk up a trail up to the scenic point. Stupid me. My cousin took water. I did not. Forgetting the Texas heat, forgetting, you know, what really happens to my body whenever I start sweating. I got to the top and so I was like, hey, it's going to be nice evening in a moment. The sun's fixing to set. I'll call Dad. Hey, Dad, there's a nice little park. You can park right up here. Drive up and park here, and you can bring Mom and see a nice sunset. And by the way, bring some water as you come. Just add a, you know, just a, if you could, please. I really would love to have something to drink. But he can't. He can't quench his thirst. He can't. Wow. Even the water of life himself can come and make it better. It's done. Final. No longer a possibility. Done. Verse 30, if you could look down with me a little bit. The conversation goes on. Then you can see this man, this rich man in hell. He says this, he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. I want you to notice there is no repentance in hell. He knows that. He knows true repentance is only while you're alive. Yeah. You cannot repent after it's all done, and after it's all done and all said, and you find yourself in hell. That is final. True repentance is only now. That's what 2 Peter 3:9 says, right? Isn't that what the Bible says? It says here, and the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, die, because before they die, what he wants, but that all should come to repentance. That is the will of God, for all men to come to repentance before they die. Because after they die, it's final. It's gone. It's done. Your ticket is already punched. I want you to see also that this man, although he is in hell in torments, he still hasn't quite changed his attitude toward Lazarus. I want you to notice something, and this is actually not my thoughts. My wife shared it with me just recently of one of our brothers in Poland, in Olsztyn, who shared this, and it made a lot of sense. If you look real quick at that situation, when the rich man is talking about Lazarus, he said, Father Abraham, send Lazarus over here. He's still thinking that Lazarus is like his servant. Just somebody and nobody. Just send him over here because I need something, and he's going to give me what I want. Like, that's really interesting. Like, really? You haven't learned anything? You still haven't figured out that what you are is absolutely nothing. And that's what we need to understand. We are nothing. Chiefest of sinners, as Paul called himself.
Amen.
Not chiefest of all the best, chiefest of sinners. It's hard to really say that, isn't it? So, what does he say? Send Lazarus to me. I bet you that every single person in hell, if you look at it real quick, one more time, he says, Father Abraham, verse 24, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, son, remember thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted and thou art tormented. And besides all this, betwixt us there is a great gulf, right? Look, go on to verse 27. He said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. So now we have another aspect of this. If he can't come to me, if he can't help me, then can you at least send him to my parents? I don't want them to come here. Send him to my father's house. I know that every single person in hell is begging for someone to go to their family and preach the gospel to them.
Yeah, amen.
if they have memory, if they have feelings, I bet you they know in their city there is a prophet among them that is preaching the gospel on some sidewalk, on some street corner, or knocking on the door, and they say, listen to him. I pray thee. Did he notice that? He says, I pray thee. He's praying in hell. Prayers are a whole lot different in hell. They're not going to be answered or heard anymore. I pray thee. I wonder how many of them are praying for a missionary or a preacher, an evangelist, maybe just a neighbor or a young person or even a child next door to share the gospel with their loved ones.
Amen.
That are right there still living. I wonder how many of them are saying, just please, someone go and tell them before it's too late. Please, I beg you. I bet that they're screaming, don't come here. Don't come here. It is not worth it.
Yeah, amen.
Give up everything you think is right and trust the Lord Jesus. That is the only way.
Amen.
Give it all up. I think they're screaming, listen to the words of Moses and the prophets, please.
Yeah.
Listen to what the Bible says. Hear what is being preached to you. Don't be stubborn. Don't be so hard-headed. Don't be so full of hate and envy or whatever and just turn them away. Give them a moment of your time. But do you know that in that prayer, in that calling, we are part of that? Do you know, and I believe, and I feel, he says send Lazarus. Abraham said he can't go. I'm pretty sure he would feel like, send someone.
Amen.
Anyone. I don't care who. I need someone to tell my brothers before they come here.
Right.
Is that you? Could that be you who could do that?
Amen.
Could you be the one answering that call of millions and millions of people in hell saying, go tell someone. Tell my mom. She's right there. She's right there next to you. Tell her, please.
Amen.
Don't be ashamed.
Amen.
Don't be scared.
Amen.
Don't just turn away because you're a little bit fearful what they might reject you. Tell them.
Yeah.
Or they will be eternally rejected.
Amen.
I wonder what's going on down there. How much pain is really going on, how much pleading there is for you and I to do something.
Amen.
The dead can't do anything for the dead. Let the dead bury the dead. They're gone. Oh, but the living. They're living, they're breathing, but they're still dead in their trespasses and sins. And they need a Savior. And they need to be told who that Savior is. Because there are two futures, and this is my final point. There are two futures. One is with God for eternity. Glory to God.
Amen.
Glory to God. There is a hope. There is a way to find your way into eternity. And thank God there's only two ways.
Amen.
There's not a third way. There is no purgatory. There's no other resource. There's only two ways. Only two ways. That's what Matthew 7:13 and 14 says, actually. There are two ways. And the other is in torments in hell for eternity for all the evil that he had done. He never repented. And he will have eternal regrets for all the things that he had done. So my question to you, if you are here, you're not a believer, you're not saved, you do not know where you will spend eternity. I want you to think about it. Which future do you hold dear? Which future would you like to say, that is my story?
Yeah.
I want that to be me. You want to spend eternity in heaven with God? With his magnificence and everything that he can bestow upon us and just bask in his glory for eternity?
Amen.
Oh man, that's beautiful. Or be tormented in hell for all eternity. There's just two ways. You have only two options. And taking no decision on it is basically saying, taking a decision on no. Just saying, I'll wait is so, so stupid.
Amen.
Saying, I'll do it later. Don't
Amen.
Play, don't play the lottery with your life.
Amen.
Yeah, amen.
Do something about it now.
Amen.
While you still can. While you are breathing. When you walk out these doors, you do not know what's going to happen
Amen.
Out there. That's one of the questions I ask just about every day on the streets in Olsztyn. Do you know where you're going to spend eternity? The question is usually is, oh, well, of course I do. Where? Well, in heaven. I said, on what merits? Because I'm so good. Oh, you are. I bet you that rich man thought he was so good too.
Amen.
Didn't do him any good. Brothers and sisters, do we realize that people in hell are begging someone, anyone, to go and warn their family members about the existence of hell?
Amen.
And do you realize how few people actually preach on hell?
Yeah.
Because it might hurt someone's feelings?
Right.
I bet you no one in hell is scared that you tell them that hell exists. They said, tell them the truth.
Yeah.
Don't sugarcoat it. Don't just beat around the bush. Tell them like it is. There is a real hell and we are here in torment. Don't let anybody else come here. It is up to us to go and tell.
Yeah.
It is up to us. Abraham said, if they hear not Moses and prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. And you know what? Jesus rose from the dead.
Amen.
And they're still not persuaded.
Right.
I mean, Jesus himself, the God, Messiah, he came, he died, he rose again, and there's evidence everywhere. And people say, nah, that's just fake. That didn't happen. Well, we have one more option. You gotta go up to one and persuade them there is a hell. And if you don't repent today, you will wind up there for eternity. And it's up to us. It's up to us. It's up to us to share the gospel and try, and I like this song. I was looking, I don't think we have it in this yellow one. It says, rescue the perishing. Isn't that amazing? Rescue the perishing. I have the whole song here on my phone. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. Weep o'er them, the erring one. Lift up the fallen. Tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save.
Amen.
Rescue the perishing. Care for the dying. Jesus is merciful.
Amen.
Jesus will save.
Amen.
The last verse says, rescue the perishing. Duty demands it. Let that sink in for a second. I know we sing songs and we don't let the words sink in, but let that sink in. Duty demands it. Strength for thy labor, the Lord will provide.
Amen.
Oh, I think we were praying a lot this week for strength in laboring. Strength for the labor, he will provide. Back to the narrow way, patiently win them. Tell the poor wanderer, a Savior
Amen.
Has died.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.